السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, over the past few weeks we have been discussing the letter of Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi to his student who had asked him for some advice. This student, as I mentioned over the past weeks, had already qualified in the different sciences, and having separated from him now, what he wanted was something comprehensive so that he may make amal on that and get the ma'rifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because just the acquisition of plentiful of knowledge is not sufficient. In fact, it becomes hujjat, it becomes a proof against the person. When the person gets plentiful of knowledge, it has become a proof against him if he does not make amal on it. Now, that does not mean that we must not increase the knowledge, because then it will be double sin. One is not knowing and not making amal, it is double sin. If the person knows, then he should be making amal. That is what it means. Nevertheless, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah's letter we have been discussing, in which he mentioned many things, some of which we have discussed. And now we are discussing the incident of Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Ali and his student Hazrat Hatim Asam. This incident also you have heard many a times, or you may have heard, but as I explained last week, that every person has got a different way of explaining the same incident, and it may be something beneficial for myself or for you. Therefore, I am going into some details. Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh, when he was now leaving his beloved Ustad and his Sheikh, so Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh asked him that, what did you learn in the 33 years that you stayed with me? He said, I learned 8 things only. So this was a very shocking revelation, that in 33 years only 8 lessons he has learned. Nevertheless, he said, well, now that you are departing, tell me what are those 8 lessons. So we have been discussing the first one, and we just can't seem to get on to the second one. But nevertheless, the first one, he says that, I saw that people are attached to something or the other, and they dearly love something or the other in their lives. But whatever it is, finally they have to part, they have to separate, they have to leave that beloved behind. The beloved does not accompany them to the grave. The beloved does not come with them in the akhirat. Everything is left behind here. The only thing that accompanies the person to the akhirat, that accompanies the person to the grave, and assists and helps him, is amal-e-salih. Righteous deeds are things which will help this person, which will accompany him, which will light up his grave. It will be the source of nur in his grave, source of nur and light on the day of Qiyamah, nur and light over Pul Sirat until the person will enter into Jannat. So amal-e-salih, he says that, I made my companion, I made my beloved amal-e-salih. This amal-e-salih or righteous deed, it extends over every aspect of a person's life. Anything in it which the person does according to the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam becomes amal-e-salih. A person can run a massive government. He can be the president of a country. He can be the king and ruler. He can be a minister. He can be an ordinary laborer. He can be a businessman. He can be a professional person. Irrespective of which field of life he is in, all that is required is that he must conduct his life according to the teachings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it becomes amal-e-salih. Now, I think I mentioned in some talk previously, because we give so many talks at different places, so I can't remember, that if you have to look at the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made great promises over certain things. This world is no doubt a world of means. You and I, we are living in a world of means. And in a world of means, you have to adopt the means. If a person is thirsty, then he must drink water. If he is hungry, he must eat food. If he is feeling cold, then he must wear warm clothes. The person has to make use of the means that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created. Now for that we don't require a speech. We don't have to tell a person that you must make use of the means. Who does not know that you must make use of the means? If a person is thirsty and you have to bring water close to him, without even telling him that you should drink the water, he will grab the water. When people are refugees and they are starving and there's no food that is arriving, after some time if one helicopter has to bring some food and throw some packets from the skies, then see how people grab for that food because they are hungry. Their stomachs and bellies are empty. Now nobody has to give a speech there that if you are hungry you must eat. It is common knowledge that if you are hungry you must eat. So this is a world of means and we all know that we must make use of the means. But no way in the Quran Sharif, and believe me that no way in the Hadith Sharif, is there any promise that if you make use of a certain means, then definitely you will see the results. No way is there a promise anywhere in the Quran Sharif or the Hadith Sharif that if you make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created in this world, then definitely, most certainly you will see the fruits of the adoption of that means. It is a common thing that generally if the person adopts the means, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala causes the person to see the fruits of the adoption of that means. The person is hungry, he eats. The person who is thirsty, he drinks. The person goes out into the marketplace and he earns. The person wants a child, he gets married. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blesses them with the children. All these are means which the person adopts. But no way is there a promise that if you get married, then definitely with the relationship that you will have with your wife, a child will be born. No way does it say that. You must adopt the means. But it does not promise anywhere in the Quran Sharif that it will happen. If Allah Ta'ala wills, He will give the person 1, 2, 3, Allah Ta'ala knows how many. And if Allah does not will, then this person will make chakkar of the whole world and go and see all the doctors and try all the medication and see all the amils and all the taweez walas, but nothing will happen. So it is a means, but it is not a promise of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that with the adoption of these means, you will definitely get the result. It is a world of means and we must make use of the means, but we still have to trust in Allah Ta'ala. If He wills, it will happen. But when it comes to Iman and Amal Saleh, then it is a promise in the Quran Sharif. When it comes to Taqwa, then it is a promise in the Quran Sharif. Like that a person can open a business, it's a means. But how many people have failed? Which person opens a business for the sake of failure? Which person goes into a profession for the sake of failure? Which person seeks some skill for the sake of failure? Nothing. Everybody wants to be successful. But we know, if you have to go to Bombay, Delhi and other parts of the world, then we will see people with big, big degrees and qualifications. Chain of degrees. They are sitting on the footpaths and waiting for some client. So nobody does or attains a qualification for the sake of failure. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has not promised. Yes, we must make use of it, but still pray to Allah Ta'ala that He makes it successful. But in the Quran Sharif, as you have heard 120 times now, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has promised, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, that the person who will adopt taqwa in his life, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will find a way out for him in all his difficulties and problems. And Allah Ta'ala will provide for him sustenance from sources least expected, unknown to him. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will provide. So now that is a promise. In the same way, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَىٰ لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يعبدونني ولا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون.
Now in this it is a promise Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised, without going into the tafsir or without going into the full translation of the ayat, just the gist and the meaning, because the time is too limited, that in this ayat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is making a promise. And when Allah ta'ala makes a promise, then there is nobody who fulfills promise more than Allah ta'ala. Na'uzubillah, how can that be an Allah who does not fulfill his promise? When he is ordering mankind that you must fulfill your promise, that if you don't fulfill your promise, there's no deen. So here, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is ordering mankind to fulfill his promise, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning so many places that you must fulfill your promises that you make. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, who can be more truthful than Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes a promise. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ, those amongst you who will bring iman and make amal salih. Allah Ta'ala says two things, iman and amal salih. Now these are not speculations, or it is not something that is in the air. It's not just something that can happen or might not happen. It's not like the adoption of the means of this world, that if the person gets married and he wants a child, that he may get a child, he may not get a child. It's not like that. It's a wada of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that if you have iman, that is the condition now, that there must be solid iman in the heart of the person. The belief in Allah must be very, very solid and very strong. It must not be that Allah is just existing. That kind of existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, even the kuffar and mushrikeen believed in some kind of existence of Allah ta'ala. Once I received a call from a sister at the university, and she said that, Maulana, I want to marry a certain person. And she mentioned the name of that person. He was following a different faith and a different religion. And she says that he believes in a God. She says, I don't see what is wrong, because he believes in a God. Now that a God, lots of people believe in. That is not Islam, believing in a God. A God, many people believe in. When we say we believe in Allah, then we have to believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with all his names and qualities and sifats and everything that has been mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. That yaqeen and that faith that we must have in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is very, very different from that belief in a God. So we can see how shaitan whispers into the ears and into the hearts of the people. That he say he believes in a God, so what is wrong with marriage? So this is what I am saying, that the person must have iman. Now this iman itself, it's a subject on its own. But iman and amal salih, because we are discussing amal salih. Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said that I saw everybody who loved something or the other, one day this person parted from his beloved or his beloved parted from him. And especially in this world and in the times that we are living of fitna, then too many beloveds are parting from people and it's leading to suicides and all kinds of problems. So what is the sense of giving of the heart to something that the person should not be giving his heart to? If the person gives his heart to amal salih, then if he loves his wife, it is amal salih. If he loves his child and does the upbringing in the manner that Quran and Sunnah has ordered, it is amal salih. He is earning a living, he is going to the business, he is going to the marketplace to earn halal so that he may provide for the family, for himself, and donate from there also to the poor and the needy, then it is amal salih. So amal salih is something that we are now discussing. So therefore here in this ayat also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that those who have got iman and then they do amal salih, in other words, they fulfill the rights of both Allah and his creation. In amal salih, it's the fulfillment of the rights of both Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Everything is included in that. It's just one little word. But it is just like at the time of nikah, a person is sitting there and the Imam Sahib says that, do you accept this woman in your marriage as your wife? Then he says, nakahtuha wa qabiltuha. Now this word nakahtuha, now when he says that, yes, I have accepted, then at that time he is not detailing and outlining that I have accepted, that I will provide for her clothes, I will provide for her shelter, I will provide for her food, and I will make sure that she gets medication when she is sick. There's no detail that is there. Just in that one word, nakahtuha, everything is included. In the same way here, in amal salih, everything is included. So he says that, I made my beloved amal salih. For I know that this is the only thing that will accompany me to the grave. It will help me in the hereafter. His Shaykh, Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, Ahsanta, you have done a wonderful thing. I thought that you were telling me you learned 8 lessons in 33 years, so I wasted my time and you wasted your time. But just this one lesson of the 8, the other 7 I haven't even heard as yet. Just this one which you have mentioned, it is the whole of Islam and nothing but the whole of Islam. Now imagine just in that Amal-e-Saleh. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now in this ayat he says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Allah has promised that those who have got iman and those who have got Amal-e-Saleh, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will definitely give them government on this land. Allah ta'ala will give them government. Allah ta'ala will give them istikhlaf on this earth. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make them the inheritors of this earth. And just as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made those before you, those people before you who had iman and amal-e-saleh, just as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them government on this land, just as Allah ta'ala established them on this land, gave them inheritance of this earth, in the same way Allah ta'ala will give it to you. And not only that, but He will establish that deen of yours with which He is pleased, which He has chosen for you as your deen, as your way of life. I'm just giving you an explanation and a meaning. That Islam which was a way of life, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make that Islam prosper on this earth and He will establish it on this land. When you will have iman and amal-e-saleh, then you will see the government Allah ta'ala will give to you and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will establish the deen of yours with which you are pleased. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change your conditions of fear. Those conditions of fear in which you are living at present, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change those conditions to conditions of peace and security, conditions of happiness, conditions of prosperity, conditions of ease and comfort. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change it if you do two things, and that is have iman and amal-e-saleh. So when Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullah alayh was told by Hazrat Hatim Asam rahmatullah alayh that I chose amal-e-saleh, then it was not an ordinary and a simple thing. What he had said is that I have made my life disciplined. I have brought iman and amal-e-saleh into my life after making much mujahada. I have disciplined it in such a way that every action of mine becomes an amal-e-saleh. Every action of mine becomes a righteous deed. Whether it is my earning, whether it is my eating and drinking and sleeping, whether it is my relationship with my wife, whether it is my upbringing of the children, whatever action of life that I undertake, I have disciplined myself such a way that everything must become amal-e-saleh. It reminds me again that one morning after Fajr we were walking in one park and there we saw one board. And the board said that no dogs allowed except on leash. Now that is something that we listen to, we hear about and we read on the boards. That if you're going for a walk through the park, then you must have the dog on leash. But on that day, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put something into my mind, that why should we only think of that dog, that four-legged dog that comes into the park? Why is it that the dog must come on leash? It must be on leash because the mizaj of the dog, the nature of that dog is that it will urinate here, it will pass stool there. If some children are playing, it could bite and it could bark at them and it could damage the flowers and it could cause a lot of havoc in that park. So therefore, you put it on leash, thereafter take it along, there is no problem. So I said, why should we not think of that nafs as our dog? That dog which is in ourselves, which is our nafs, put it on leash. Put that nafs on leash. Thereafter you can take it to the bazaar, you can take it to the airport, you can take it on the aeroplanes, you can take it into the marketplaces, you can take it to the schools, you can take it to the colleges, and it's not going to cause havoc. But if we are not going to put that nafs on leash, and what is that leash? The leash is the leash of Sharia. Tie the leash of Sharia around the nafs. Then every action of ours will become amal-e-saleh. Then if we are in the bazaars, marketplaces, or wherever we have to go for our activities of life, then it is not going to cause any kind of damage or harm. If not, then the mizaj of the nafs is just like the mizaj of the dog. The eyes will start casting lustful glances at the women that will be passing. Then child abuse will take place, and then women abuse will take place, and then stealing will take place, and then crime will take place. There will be fraud, there will be adultery, there will be fornication, there will be all kinds of evil that will surface If this heart is not put onto the leash, if this nafs is not put onto the leash. So therefore there is no harm. Allah Ta'ala has created the world for us. Make use of the world. But making use of the world does not mean that we must remain indisciplined. So that is all that is required. It is so simple, so easy, so practical, so beautiful. And it will bring such sukoon in our hearts, such peace, such tranquility, such serenity, such joy, such happiness, that as I have mentioned many times, that if only the kings had known that what the Ahlullah have in their hearts, they will send an army and a military to go and snatch it away. So that is all that is required. So this is why he says that Iman and Amale Saleh. He says, I adopted or I made my beloved Amale Saleh. Because Allah Ta'ala has made so much of promises for those who have got Amale Saleh. In one ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّ. That the person who will have Amale Saleh and Iman, then Allah Ta'ala is promising that what will he do? He will put the love of those persons, that person into the hearts of the people. That love will come from the heavens. Allah Ta'ala will first tell us, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that I love so and so, so you too love him. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam will announce to the angels that Allah Ta'ala loves so and so, so you too love him. The angels after that will put it into the hearts of the Ahlullah of the time and of the Walis of the time and of the pious and the righteous ones of the time that I love, Allah Ta'ala loves so and so, so you too love him. So it's not the love of the film actors and actresses where millions of people can be following them. We are talking of that love descending into the hearts of the Ahlullah first, and from there it passes on. So there are so many promises. So when Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayhi heard this from his beloved student Hazrat Hatim Asam, that he made his beloved Amale Saleh, he says, Ahsanta, Ahsanta. What a beautiful lesson you have learned. And you and I also, if we just take this one lesson, it is sufficient for reformation and for change and a direction in our lives. And thereafter we will see what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives. We are not willing to take a dive. We don't want to try it out. We want to keep on continuing, or we want to continue with our sinful lifestyles, and we are hoping and waiting for peace and tranquility and happiness and comfort and unity and all these type of things to come. So that is just a fool's dream. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless me, bless you, and bless the entire ummah with the tawfiq of making amal on that which is in the Quran and the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May he bless us with the best of this world and the best of the akhirat, and protect the entire ummah from all the fitnas which they are facing throughout the world, especially our mujahideen brothers in Palestine, Kashmir, Chechnya, Bosnia, and other parts of the world. We must make a lot of dua. Allah Ta'ala give them himmat, courage, and Allah Ta'ala establish the deen of Islam once again on this earth. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.